Good afternoon. You're listening to Tay, as they were in danger of being sued if they continued to spell it with a C, presumably by a crayon company of the same name. In spite of that, it is also spelt with a C, or still spelt with a C, on corrected slogans in 1976, which was their first collaboration with the conceptual art group Art and Language. If this starts to sound somewhat confusing, it's because I'm sort of finding out about it as I go along. The last episode was predominantly tracks from the Red Crayola's first two records from the mid-1960s. But today, I'm going to concentrate most... But there is a kind of studied refusal about the music, as though they want to sound like beginners. And this is what I find most intriguing about this record, the strange melding of political messages and comments with a faux naïf soundtrack. How or why the two outfits came together is still a bit of a mystery to me. I've invited current members of Art and Language to come on the programme through the Listen Gallery, and they are apparently willing to participate, but at their own pace, so maybe next week we'll see. In fact, this could prove to be a long-running series looking at political music of all sorts. So perhaps I'll veer off to the left and start with a Cornelius Cardew track from 1972. In fact, it will be two tracks. I would be interested to know if Art and Language were aware of Cardew's Maoist songs, which are equally unpopular. This track by Cornelius Cardew, or these tracks by Cornelius Cardew, are from the CD We Only Want the Earth, the People's Liberation Music Tapes and Other Songs. In fact, yeah, the second track will be Revolution is the Main Trend, a text set by Cardew in 1972 from a statement, People of the World Unite and Defeat the US Aggressors and Their Running Dogs, which is a quote from Mao Zedong. Cardew later rejected Maoism, it should be said. Curiously, this album also includes a track called Give Ireland Back to the Irish, written by Paul and Linda McCartney, and released as a single by them in 1972, which was banned by the BBC at the time. I don't know how they feel about it now, but anyway, so here we go with two tracks by Cornelius Cardew. The first being written by Paul and Linda McCartney, and the second one influenced by Mao Zedong.
The Irish make Ireland Irish today. Great Brits, you are tremendous, and nobody knows like me. But really, what are you doing in the land across the sea? Tell me, how would you like it if on your way to work you were stopped by Irish soldiers? Would you lie down, do nothing? Would you give in? Who can say? Give Ireland back to the Irish. Don't make them have to take it away. Give Ireland back. And he's sitting in a prison. Say, should he lie down, do nothing? Should he give in or go mad? Give Ireland back to the...
Revolution is the main trend in the world today.
They were two tracks by Cornelius Cardew in his overtly political phase. The next tracks are from Corrected Slogans by Art and Language and the Red Crayola, recorded in 1976, and could be said to be similar to Cardew's in their attempt to deliver political lyrics in an anti-traditional avant-garde mode, if that isn't a double oxymoron, and as such are interesting failures to engage either politically or musically, but perhaps attempt to succeed theoretically. Before that, here are some texts from Essays on Art and Language by Charles Harrison, himself a member of Art and Language, if member is the right word, as the history of art and language is fairly complicated, and there isn't very much about the music in the book. The following quote is taken completely out of context from the chapter called A Kind of Context. It has been a condition of the practice of art since the middle of the century that no indisputable index of relevant issues has been available to regulate either the practice or the criticism of art. The index has had to be made and extended in the process of going on and in face of attempts to prescribe it and to keep it closed. Indeed, the very question of relevance to matters of art and of modernity has often been fruitfully addressed when one thought that one was doing something else. Okay, and the next, this is another quote which I've picked out of this book, which I'm presently reading. This is from The Conditions of Problems. The second set of works is composed of silk-screened and hand-lettered posters, see plate 56. At the bottom left of each, a man's head and outstretched arm are shown with the kind of graphic simplification used in inexpensive publicity and propaganda. The man is singing one of a number of slogans, which issues from his mouth and is lettered across the posters. Oh, 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 the language of the working class is universal. Its lyricism lightens the heart. The slogans self-consciously express a naive optimism of the kind then associated with Chinese propaganda posters. They are taken from songs written and recorded by Art and Language. The singing men were intended as wallpapered atmosphere to accompany a videotape of these songs, Nine Gross and Conspicuous Errors. Two of these videotapes can actually be seen on YouTube if you go to just look up Art and Language and the Red Crayola. And you can find two of these Nine Gross and Conspicuous Errors videotapes produced by Art and Language and the Red Crayola in 1975. Posters and video were used in an exhibition called Music Language at the Galerie Eric Fabre, Paris, in 1976. In these works, as in the dialectical materialism displays, the ironic assimilation of the rhetorical and graphical characteristics of publicity and propaganda was self-consciously reminiscent of some earlier precedents, constructivist graphics again, and also the publications and strategies of the surrealists. Okay, well, I'll get on and play some tracks from Corrected Slogans. This was the EP, the LP, sorry, produced by Art and Language and Red Crayola in 1976.
The organisation of activity into social critical action will be no more than degenerate if it remains in the realm of participatory conflict. The concrete tasks of transition must supersede the aimless wanderings of fetishism. In this connection, allegedly progressive smart people have no advantages over the people they feel sorry for. They have no firm class basis. The willing servants of the ruling class have split society's forms away from reality. This is a cultural index of its measures to depoliticize, disarm those who may be in a position to struggle against it. High culture as a dimension of ideology has been absorbed into the absurd ideology of high culture. The struggle for realism as social practice is vitiated by private commitment. The only first step is the performance of concrete organizational tasks, organization on class lines against the institutional ideology. Such activity will, of course, be condemned as insufficient work, etc., by the ruling class. They are in a position to legislate in this respect only within the confines of the ruling class ideology. Class action and its historical meaning will, with few exceptions, remain opaque to them, to their institutions. Organizational, socializing tasks will be met by an increased intensity of repression, a proliferation of arbitrary measures in the guise of substantive criticism. Transitional tasks are not negotiable.
Stagnation in technology and most of modern history's been technic ideology or instrumentality and separate technology is past domination. Technological autonomy. British motor industry is different from that of the French.
The careless purveyors of high culture are presented with clear alternatives. One of them is finally to be fixed as the harmless class. The danger, a wholly indefinite, disintegrated mass thrown here and there, rich and poor, offal, organ grinders, rag pickers, mountebanks, the helpless dregs who turn in circles between suicide and a tedious madness, incapable of the uncritical violence which is their true heritage. A plague zone that can't be cleansed by the plague. Or they can realize that they are incapable of governing themselves. Struggle
Let's learn the language of the international. Nobody's crazy enough locally, nor can they be in a way that obviates pathology in a sphere that must consign them to third world iconography. What went
For others who were identified with art and language during the years 1972 to 1976, other necessities in the end became more pressing, or other forms of activity more appropriate. After his return to Australia late in 1976, Byrne established a media resource centre for trade union activities. Rushton was engaged in similar work in England during the late 1970s and early 1980s. As mentioned earlier, Hurrell had never sought an economic identity as an artist. He resigned a full-time teaching post in 1975. And in 1977, after periods of unemployment and factory work, he took a job as a toolmaker in Chipping Norton. In 1978, Mayo Thompson reformed his band, the Red Crayola, with a number of younger musicians in England, and soon after engaged with art and language during the period, simply continued with those interests which had always been predominant. After the winding up of the Art and Language Foundation in New York, some hangers-on were left with nothing to hang on to.
Not to run on fuck, it's all just means nature doesn't make leaps. It's a corruption of logic. And not to revoke, it's all just means nature does make leaps.
But no one really said it.
The confrontation's not a strategy. What is in a song?
Well, we seem to have a couple of minutes left, so I shall flip the record over and play track one, side one.
Uh, Advertisement for 17 bureaucrats, 100,000 replies. There was a riot when somebody found that the interviewer denied that he should turn up. Maharashtra.